days when you don't know what to do, when Paul, that song was about Paul and Silas. They were in jail and chose praise. You know, they weren't in a good situation, but they chose to praise the Lord anyhow. Amen? Well, that's what we ought to do. Just keep on praising the Lord. Amen? And thank God. Take your Bible tonight. Please go to Romans chapter 1 with me tonight. The book of Romans, chapter number 1. And I'm continuing a series on the roles that God has for us. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, this thought, the role of a servant. The role of a servant. The Lord Jesus Christ has called all of us to be servants. Servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a servant? What is the scriptural understanding of a servant? And what does that mean that we should be for the Lord Jesus as his servants? We're going to look at this verse tonight. I want to look at just one verse tonight, and then I want you to turn to another passage of scripture. Romans chapter 1. Now notice verse number 1 in this passage of scripture. The Apostle Paul, and he is really declaring what he himself is by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And he says these words, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, I want you to notice that verse says something very interesting to me. You may have missed it, may have not have seen it. But notice the Apostle Paul calls himself a servant before he even calls himself an apostle. He said, I'm a servant first, then I'm an apostle. Now notice Titus, the little book of Titus. Go over there with me, Titus chapter 1. The book of Titus chapter 1. And I want you to notice this again. First, 2 Timothy, and then the book of Titus. Small book, wonderful book. Notice again what the Apostle Paul says here in Titus chapter 1. Verse 1, notice, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Notice once again, Titus, in the book of Titus here, the Apostle Paul called himself a servant of God. Now, when we write a letter, we write our name and our salutation at the end of the letter. But in Bible days, they would put the salutation at the very beginning of the letter. And that really makes sense because then you know who you're reading the letter from. And so the Apostle Paul here, he said, I am a servant first, and then also an apostle. Now it's interesting, Peter said the same thing. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. The book of 2 Peter and chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and notice verse 1 here. The Bible tells us Simon Peter, a what? What did he say he was?
Servant.
A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to preach on that subject, this thought of putting yourself as a servant first. Putting yourself as a servant of God first. And that's my thought tonight. That's what I want to preach on. Let's take a moment. Let's pray. Let's ask God to bless the message tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. We ask for your power and your blessings tonight. As we hear your word, as we preach your word tonight, God, we need to hear from heaven tonight. So use us, I pray. Help us to understand to put ourselves as a servant first. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was looking up what it means to be a true servant. And I came across a quote by John Wesley. He wrote many of the songs that are in our hymn book tonight. And John Wesley said, this is what a servant, a true servant is. He says, quote, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you possibly can. I think that's pretty good. I think that wraps up a whole lot of understanding of what a servant is. You know, the scripture has definitions for everything, and the Lord Jesus told us what a servant is. Now, first of all, I want you to understand that a servant is somebody who desires to be used. He desires to be used. You know, can I tell you, God didn't save us just so we could sit and enjoy. God saved us so that we can be used by God. God wants us to be used. And a servant has that heart. A servant has a heart to be used. There is a famous violinist named Paganini. And I don't want to pronounce the rest of his name because I really can't. So we'll call him Paganini. But he was a violinist. And when he died, this great violinist, Paganini, he willed his great violin to the city of Genoa, Italy, on condition that it must never be played. The wood of such an instrument, while used in handles, wears only slightly, but when it's set aside and not used, it begins to decay. Paganini's beautiful, priceless violin today has become nothing more than worm-eaten and useless as a relic, and it can no longer be played. And so it is a Christian who serves God, who does not want to be used, is like that old violin. We just slowly become more decayed. And so I say to you tonight that God, a servant, wants to be used. A servant doesn't care how low the task is. It's the privilege and the desire to be used of God. It is a spirit and attitude of returning to God what God has given us so greatly. It's the spirit that God has been so good that I'm ready in my heart to serve the Lord no matter what that is. Be it a lowly task or be it a great task, I'm ready to serve the Lord. A servant wants to be used of God. Can I say, secondly, a servant is one who is compelled by love for his master. A servant is one who's compelled by love for his master. He wants to please his master. He wants his master's approval, and he's compelled by love for what his master has done for him. Can I tell you, since we are Christians and we serve a good master, then we ought to also be compelled by love. I believe there ought to be something that drives inside of every one of us, something inside each one of our heart that says, I want to do something for God. I don't want to have a useless Christianity. I want to be used in any way I can. I want to be used. And not just one way or not another or not put limits on God. God, use me, but unto a certain point, God. No, the servant says, Lord, just use me whenever, however, wherever, as much as I possibly can be used. That's a servant. A servant wants to be used. He's compelled by love. You know, the Bible teaches us that it is the love of Christ which compels us. It is the great love of God that compels us. Man, because he loved me, I cannot help but want to serve him. I cannot help but want to do something for him. That's the spirit of the attitude of a Christian, one who is love for Christ. And can I tell you that even the disciples, we find them following Christ all the way into the end and giving their lives. Peter, who wrote that those words, and the Apostle Paul, all of these servants, they gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave everything they could to the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't hold back on God because they knew that inside their heart, there was this compelling drive, this compulsion to want to please God, to want to serve Him. I'll tell you what, it's a blessing to serve. It's a blessing to serve. It doesn't matter what job is done for the Lord, that job, and Jesus said, if you give one a cup of cold water in my name, it's the same as if you did it to me. If you and I can find the lowliest, the meekest, the most insignificant person and love them, serve them, Jesus called servants the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, the disciples had a discussion one day with Jesus and they said, Lord Jesus, who's going to be the greatest in heaven? Who's going to get to sit by you on the right hand of your throne? Can I sit by you, Lord, is what they were saying. And Jesus said, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the one who is a servant. One who's a servant. And you know, I think we get servanthood lost in our world today. We have these ideas of greatness and echelon. But I'll tell you what, a real servant is one who can bend down to the lowest level. I heard former President George Bush one day. He was in a crowd. He was candidating for the presidency before he became president. And a little child had come up to him and gave him a gospel tract. A little child came up and gave him a gospel tract. And George Bush, that president, in the crowd of all the people, he stopped and got down on his knees. He thanked that child for that. And he began to talk to him about his faith and how he had trusted Christ and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I'll tell you what, that told me a lot about him. That's what made me vote for him. I don't know if I'd still vote for him, but that is what made me did vote for him at that time. See, servanthood is true greatness in the eyes of God. It's true greatness. Disciples, you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Go find somebody to give a cup of cold water to, because if you give somebody a cup of cold water in my name, it's the same as if you did it to me. You know, that's what the Lord Jesus is trying to tell us. When we care, when we serve others, when we have this kind of heart that just willingly, what can I do for you? It's not, what can you do for me? That's the mantra of the world. The words of a Christian ought to be, what can I do for you, God? God, you gave your all for me. You gave your life for me. The least I can do is live for you and serve you. No wonder the Apostle Paul said those words, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. A servant. Thirdly, can I say, a servant patterns himself after the Lord Jesus. A servant is one who finds the Lord Jesus, and whatever the Lord is doing, that's the pattern that he wants to follow. I remember the Lord, you know the Lord Jesus, he went to that city, the Bible says, and he looked on that city and he was moved with compassion because they were as a sheep. They were like sheep having no shepherd. You know, that's the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ has. You know, I want to tell you something. We need compassion on this world because the world is lost. The world is lost. They do not know what direction to go. You know, when you're lost, you don't know where to go. But when you're lost, you're convinced that that way is the best way to go. So you go that way, and you follow that way, and you only realize one thing, you're still lost. You're still lost. There's only one thing that can take a lost world and save them. That's the compassion of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus comes down to the place where that person is lost. And in his compassion, he saves them because he is a servant himself. Thank God for it. He healed Jairus' daughter. He went to the blind man, the pool of Siloam. He rose Lazarus from the dead. He healed the centurion's servant. He had compassion. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is our pattern in everything. And I tell you what, if you're not careful, you'll get hardened to this old world and hardened to the things that go on in the world. But hear me, a servant says, I want to be like Jesus. He is my pattern. He's the goal of which I'm trying to become. You say, preacher, I'm far from Jesus. I think all of us are. But we got to strive to be more like him every day. Every hour, when you wake up tomorrow morning, guess what? It's time to look into the eyes of Jesus and be like him. He is our example. He's our pattern. You know, when a lady makes a dress, I've never made a dress.
Amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.
And I'm not going to either. Amen. I've never made a dress, but I understand a lady has a pattern that she puts out there and follows that pattern when she makes a dress. Now, ladies, what would it be like if you didn't have a pattern and you made a dress? You take the word dress and replace it for the word mess. Right? Right. Us men, we do the same thing. You know, when you're running certain machines, some of those machines need a pattern in which to follow and make a copy of the tool or of the part that's needed. There's a pattern that's followed to do that. And can I tell you, the pattern of a Christian is to look at the Lord Jesus and to see his compassion, to see him go all the way to the cross because he cared about us. That's the spirit we got to have too. That's the spirit. It's not the spirit of, what can you do for me, God? It's the spirit of, God, you've done so much for me. What can I do in return to please you and serve you? That's a servant heart. That's a servant spirit. Number four, a servant has an active prayer life. A servant has an active prayer life. Go to Colossians chapter 4 with me in your Bible. The book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Remember that? General Electric, Pepsi-Cola, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Some of you got some other things that you say to do that, but mine is the right one, so just you can use it anytime you want. All right, Colossians chapter 4, look at verse number 12. I said a servant has an active prayer life. Notice Colossians 4 and verse 12. Bible says here, Epaphras, who is one of you, what does it say? A servant of Christ, saluteth you, and notice what this servant does, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. See, a servant prays for others that they will stand in the will of God. That's what a servant does. A servant says, I need to pray for others. You see, a spirit that's not of a servant says, someone should pray for me. And possibly, truly, we should. But a servant says, I need to be praying for others. I need to be holding them up in prayer. I need to pick them up in prayer, not just somebody pray for me. And thank God when we do have a prayer request, we can say it to others. But we ought to have this spirit, Lord Jesus, I need to uphold others in prayer. When someone's sick, uphold them in prayer. When someone's backslidden or away from God, uphold them in prayer. Hey, I want to tell you something. There was a man here in church this morning we've been praying for a long time. And he came to church this morning. Hallelujah. He said, I'm not making any promises. I'm coming back. Amen. But hey, God got him. God got him into church this morning. I believe it's because people have been praying for him. I believe his girls have been praying for him. Amen. I believe his wife's been praying for him. You know what? That's a sign of a servant. A servant has this active prayer life that knows that others need to be prayed for. And yet, how many times do we just leave off our prayer? How many times do we just not consider it important? Do we just kind of let it go by? As if it won't matter. I'm going to tell you something. A real servant knows that prayer is what God wants us to do, and that it upholds others in prayer. This servant of God is, he's Epaphras. You know, I believe he's going to be one of them that we're going to see and know in heaven, because Scripture tells us and reminds us that the greatest of those in heaven is the one who serves. Amen. The greatest of the one who serves. By the way, a preacher is not one who is to be served. A preacher is one who is a servant and should be a servant. Amen. See, a servant has an active prayer life. He holds others up by prayer. Number five, a servant seeks to please only his master. Take your Bible and go with me to Galatians chapter 1. The book of Galatians and chapter number 1. General Electric Pepsi Cola, there it is. Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse number 10. The Apostle Paul says this. He said, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul knew that if he was going to be a servant of God, he had to designate his loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever something came in his way, and whenever some other idea or some other thought to betray that came into his mind, he got rid of that thought and he said, "I am solely and wholly belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, I'm not a men pleaser. I'm not a men pleaser. I don't walk around just trying to please men. I'm trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to serve him. He is my priority, is what Paul was saying. You know, he was saying, Apostle Paul was really saying, "You know what? I am not a puppet preacher. I'm not one that can be told what to do, you know." I'll tell you something. Sometimes there's churches and they hire a pastor, a hireling, because they want to tell him what to do. May I tell you what? I'm going to keep on preaching this old book no matter what. Amen. Amen. You say, "Well, if I don't like that." Well, you should like it if it's the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Paul wanted to be a servant of God. He realized he had to be loyal to his master. Hey, listen. A real servant, when he gets around the world, he stays loyal to his master. Amen. Young people, when you face pressure of other young people to act different than a Christian, remember this. Remember that Paul said, "I don't seek to please men. I'm trying to please God." Please God. Please him with all your heart. There's a story about a lady named Gloria Wilson. Gloria Wilson was a housekeeper, and it was a weary day. And this man, John Kenneth Galbraith, she worked for John Kenneth Galbraith. And Gloria Wilson was his housekeeper. And it was a wearying day, tired day. And John Kenneth Galbraith asked her, he said, "I want you to hold all the phone calls while I take a nap." Well, shortly thereafter, the phone rang. Guess who was on the phone? President Lyndon Johnson was on the phone. He said, "Get me Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson. He is sleeping, Mr. President," said Gloria. He said, do not disturb him. Well, wake him up. I want to talk to him. No, Mr. President, I work for him, not you. When I called the president back, he could scarcely control his pleasure. He said, tell that woman I want to hire her here in the White House. You know why? Because she demonstrated a loyalty to the one she served. Amen. What an example. A servant is loyal to his master. Number six, a servant loves to hear the approval of his master. A servant loves to hear the approval of his master. Go to Luke chapter 19 in your Bibles. You know, the book of Luke talks about servanthood more than any other book of the Bible. I was surprised about that, because Luke was known as a physician. He was known as a doctor. But it talks about servanthood more in this book than any other. And look at chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse number 17. Notice what it says here. It says, and he said unto them, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, I have authority over 10 cities. You know, that servant likes to hear those words. You know, the truth is that this is a picture. Lord Jesus is going to come back one day. He's going to come in the clouds. We're going to hear the trump of God, the shout, and the trump of God. Somebody asked him one time, what is that shout? I don't know what that shout is. I have no idea. But it's going to be a shout. And the saved are going to hear it. The lost aren't going to hear it, because their ears are spiritually deaf. But the saved will be able to hear that. We're going to hear that. And that trump's going to sound. When that trumpet sounds, that day, I believe, is day. When we go to meet the Lord in the air, I believe that day we're going to hear that, well done. Well done. You know, when we see Jesus, that's the thing I want to hear is well done. Amen. See, a servant loves to hear the approval of his master. We had a dog named Lassie. The kids named it Lassie, and it was far from the Lassie on the movie. It was a stray dog that came up. The dog would get in our trash every day. I'd have to go pick up the trash outside every day. And finally, one night, I got tired of it, and I sat on the porch with a BB gun. And sure enough, the stray dog came up. Lassie came up. And boom, took aim, boom, shot her in the behind. She took off. Well, I thought she'd quit, but guess what? She kept coming back, tearing my trash up. Until one day Taylor came to me and he said, Dad, you promised us we could have a dog. Can we keep that dog? I said, son, that dog is a stray. It's got two funny looking eyes. One looks over here and the other looks over in this direction. It looks all, the hair is all, it's a mutt. I said, well, you don't want that dog. He said, well, Dad, I've been feeding him. You're feeding the dog and I'm shooting the dog. No wonder the dog kept coming back. He was feeding her. He said, Dad, she's a really nice dog. She's a really nice dog. Well, I gave in. And I started to get to know the dog. Well, you got to remember, the dog knows I'm the one that shot her. So the dog, when it first came up, it would get way down his knees. And that's my dog imitation. Get way down his knees. Tail was under him. And tail was under her. And she looked at me, and you know what? I looked at her and I said, come here. She came out of it real quick, just like that. She came up, started rubbing on my shoulder, rubbing on my leg. Kindest dog ever met. Down on my knees. She was a friend. Don't laugh at me if I make a mistake, okay? I make them every service. But this dog came up, and I'll tell you what. I noticed this. Whenever that dog was in trouble or do something wrong, all I had to do was say, no, that's bad. She'd go hide and tuck her tail behind her. But whenever I praised her, she lit up. And she'd come to me. She'd rub up against me. You know, she was always very reactionary to whatever I did. Can I tell you what a servant ought to be like that? When our Lord chastens us, it should humble us. But we should always long to hear his praise. And we should always long to be more like him. Servant loves to hear the approval of his master. Oh, listen, someday these clouds are going to part. This whole life is going to be over. No more houses, no more cars, no more traffic, no more bosses, no more IRS, no more bills in the mail. None of that. One of these days, that's going to happen. And when that happens, the only thing that's going to matter is our love and our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to hear that, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, I want to hear that. I want to hear that. A servant wants the approval of his master. And lastly, can I say this? A servant will be ready when his Lord returns. A servant will be ready when his Lord returns. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter 24 in your Bibles. A servant will be ready when his Lord returns. Matthew 24, look at verse number 45. Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. God's looking for us to be busy when he comes. God looks for us to be doing something. You know, I know you see these people that predict the date when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. They sell all they have and they go on the top of their house. And they just wait for the rapture to occur. And boy, they write big, glorious books about it and how it's going to happen. And what was that one guy who wrote 101 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming in 2000 or 2000? Guess what? It never happened. You know, but really, we shouldn't be longing for just looking for his coming. We should be busy until he comes. We should be doing the Lord's work. We should be finding a task that we can do, that we can pour our soul in and our heart into. Because our Lord's coming back again. And he said here, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So doing, faithful. Faithful. You know, there are sometimes a Christian will serve the Lord for a good long time. They'll be faithful to the Lord. And something happens in their life. They don't guard their heart. And little by little, even though they served the Lord for many years, then right at the finish line, they back away from serving the Lord. What if the Lord were to come right at that time? What if the trumpet were to sound when that Christian backed up from God and said, you know what, it's too hard. I can't do it today. Lord Jesus, you know, the truth is that old devil just sends discouragement, doubt, fear. He sends anything into your mind to get you to not be ready when he comes. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, hey, make it all the way to the finish line. Make it all the way. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I have finished my course. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He was looking for that well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Hear me tonight. You and I ought to look for that well done that the Lord has given us too. A servant. Are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? A servant follows his Lord in everything. And when he returns, that trumpet's going to sound. The clouds are going to part. And the Lord Jesus is going to step out of heaven. And we're going to meet him in the air. And when we do, and you look into his eyes, will he say, well done? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or would we have to say, Lord, I'm not really ready for you. I'm not ready for you to come yet. Lord, I still have some things in my life. No, the servant's ready. He's ready at any time when the Lord returns. Those five servants in the book of Luke, where God gave one 5 talents, one 2 talents, and another one. They knew that their master had given them those things and that they were to be busy about doing those things and taking them and using them for God's glory. Because they knew that one day that Lord is going to return. He didn't tell them when. He just told them to be ready. And when the Lord of the servants came back again, the one at 5, he was joyful. You know why? Because he had taken that one, those 5, and he had made other 5 talents. He was being used by God. Same with the one with 2 talents. And by the way, it doesn't matter how much or how little God has given you or blessed you with. The whole point of the matter is to take what God has given you and use it for his glory. Amen. And when you have that, you take those 2, but that last one, he feared his master when he came home. Because he took that one, he did nothing with it. He didn't use it for anything. And it sat. He digged it in the ground and buried it in a hole. And he showed fear because when his Lord came back, he just was not ready to meet his Lord. I want to tell you what, being a servant in the Lord Jesus Christ is every day an important thing. I think there's a lot of Christians just kind of float along in life. Just floating along, not really having a heart to serve the Lord, just kind of there, just kind of existing. And when that trumpet of God sounds, I think they're going to look over their life and say, I wish I could have done more. I wish I should have done more. But I didn't. I didn't. You see, being a real servant is what keeps us from that nominal, everyday, spiritless Christianity that plagues many Christians. And it will be the shock of many Christians when they hear that shout, that trump of God, and see the Lord Jesus coming. And they'll say, oh, wait a minute. Lord, can you come tomorrow? I'm not ready today. So servant's ready. I ask you tonight, are you ready? If the Lord were to come tonight, would you be ready? Would you be ready? Let's be ready. Let's be a servant for the Lord.